reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. That experience of the 70 years in Babylon that we hear about so often is the definitive memory of the Jewish people. Egypt was their first memory, the 40 years in the wilderness. But those 70 long years in Babylon were much more fruitful. They were so fruitful that the entire Old Testament was put together and compiled into one writing so that their faith, their understanding of God, their theology, their whole history was kept as an everlasting memorial. Jesus read from those scriptures. Jesus was schooled in those scriptures. So when we hear in the prophet Isaiah, "Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army," remember not the events of the past. What does that mean? Don't remember the past? No, but the Lord is pointing to something. "See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Why wouldn't they perceive it? Because the kingdom of heaven is hidden like a mustard seed, like a pearl in the ground. It's hidden. It's hidden from our eyes, but not from our hearts. It's hidden from our sight, but not from our knowing. We know that the kingdom of God has approached us, and it approaches us in Jesus Christ, in his sacraments. During this time of Lent, when we try and struggle, try and fall, try and try to be closer to God, we find many times that we haven't progressed. Or so we might think. But each and every time we offer up our suffering with the Lord's suffering on the cross, each and every time we come to him and say, "Father, I have sinned against you," every time we come to the holy sacrifice of the altar and receive his body and blood, we are seeing the kingdom of God. Paul captures exactly what we are supposed to be doing. "I consider everything as a loss," says Paul, because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. That's a little confusing. How are we found in Christ? When we have communion with him, when we receive his body and blood, and we are transformed little by little into his body and blood, then we are found in him. Paul goes on and says, it's not that I have any righteousness of my own, but the righteousness I have is through faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Does that mean I have faith in Christ, or you have faith in Christ? Or is Paul talking about the faith that is in Christ? It is truly both, but it's more the latter. The faith that Jesus has in his Father, the faithfulness to his Father's will, the faithfulness that led him all the way up the hill to Calvary. That's what Paul is talking about. Listen further. Depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by being conformed to his death. If we really want to have Christ, we have to be crucified ourselves. Not necessarily physically, but by conformity, by making ourselves take up our daily crosses and carry them. Recently in the news, we all as a parish have taken up a cross. We're taking up a cross, and we are following in the way of Jesus. Because we trust in him, we trust that by following the Lord all the way up, even to crucifixion, that we will find life, life everlasting. Listen further to Paul. It is not that I have already taken hold of it or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it. Hope is what Christians have. We have hope in God. We don't possess God. God possesses us, if we're lucky, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. And there it is. I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Christ it is who takes possession of us. Brothers and sisters, I do, for my part, not consider myself to have taken possession. Don't count on God in such a way that he's taken for granted. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind us, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. God is calling us each and every day of our lives to something better than where we were yesterday. Each day, he's asking us to come and follow him. He's infinitely far off, yet infinitely close to us. He's as close to us as we are to our own hearts. The things that we love, he is closer to us than that. We have but to accept his taking possession of us. And how does he do that? He doesn't do it by forcing us. He does it by saying, come to me if you are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Come to me no matter where you are, no matter who you are, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and I will guide you. Follow me. Take up your cross. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart. That's what we're called to. We're called to follow Jesus with a whole heart, with our minds, our bodies, our souls, so that one day we may truly take possession of him as he has endeavored to take possession of us.